Tumi tomari bejare, keitare rakite pare, tava ichabosh tribhuvan, Brahma adi devagan, tava dasha agarnan, kare tava agapalan. Taba icha mote jato graha garna abirato shubha shubha fal kare dan rog shok mriti bhoi taba icha mote hoi taba agya shadda balaban Tava bhoye bayu boy, Chandra surja samudai, Shasha niyamita kaja kare. Tumi to paramesha, para brahma paratpa, Tava dasha bhakata antare. Tava basha bhakata antare Shuddha shuddha shiddhakam Bhakata bachalanam Bhakata janera nittashami Tumi to rakibe jare Ketare marite pare Shokal bidhi bidhi tumi Tomara charane nas Kori ache pranipat Bhakati binoda tavadas Bipada hoite shami Abasha tahare tumi Rakibe tahare bishash I'll just give a quick translation of this song sung by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur from his collection known as Sharanagati under the heading of Abhasha Rakibe Krishna. Krishna will certainly protect us. So Bhaktivinoda singing to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tumi who you want to kill, no one can protect them. The whole three worlds are under your control. The demigods beginning with Brahma, they're all your servants, uncountable servants. Kore tava agha palan, and they carry out your order. According to your desire, the grahas, which roughly means planets, but it also has astrological, as well as astronomical, has astrological connotations. So the planets ceaselessly mete out the auspicious and inauspicious results of people's activities. Disease, lamentation, distress, death, fear, They're people experience these according to your desire, because your order is always very powerful. The wind blows out of fear of you. The moon, the sun, and all other luminaries, they stick to their specified tasks. You are the supreme controller, the supreme reality, Parabrahma. beyond all else. Yet, and this is coming to the point of the song that I want to emphasize, your residence is within the devotees, within the heart of the devotees, you could say. Your actual, because it's saying, oh, yeah, this is your order, this you, but according to your desire, the planets move and all this. But your perfect and your always your real, your purest desire is reflected in the name Bhaktavatsala, one who is affectionate, like a protector to the devotees. You are the eternal master of the devotees. So he's the eternal master of everyone, but particularly the devotees. Who you want to protect, who can they kill? Who can kill someone who you want to protect? There is fate which is meted out, but you, by the order of fate, by the, we meet our fate, but you are the vidhya vidhi. You order, you are the control and the controller of fate. Many of these terms, like vidhi, we can translate into English, but we can give a rough translation, but there's so much understanding behind them, which doesn't come across in English because the English language has never had that culture. So, Master, oh Master, at your lotus feet, I fall down in obeisance. Bhaktivinod says, I am your servant. Definitely you will protect your servant. This is the faith, this is the belief of this Bhaktivinod. So I'm singing this as a lead-in, an introduction, or a suitable introduction to the name Bhakta Vatsala, which occurs as name 742 in Vishnu Sahasranama. This name came up in this song, and it's described, the whole song is very nicely described. Bhaktivinoda, first of all, says how the whole universe, the great demigods, are working under Krishna's control and according to Krishna's desire. And they give everyone the fate that they deserve. The demigods under Krishna's direction give everyone the fate they deserve. But Krishna, his highest desire is to protect his devotees. So Krishna, even though all the your fate may be that you have to suffer in so many ways, but Krishna will protect his devotees. And this Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses his faith in this, which is one of the six limbs of Sharanagati, of the path of, or the process of taking shelter of Krishna. Bliss. I'm going to discuss Bhaktavatsala. This is going to be a long one. Anything, this is going to be a long talk. It's going to be a series of talks. Because this name is such an important name. We just had the name Madhava. Now, the thousand names of Vishnu, some names are more well known, and some of them, I think I'm not alone in saying, I can't say I'm a devotee, but I can say as someone who's got some drops of mercy on my head from a real devotee, Srila Prabhupada. So among the devotees, there are some names which are more appealing to them, or when we have names like Yat, Tat, Kim, even Lokanath, we just had. Yeah, they're names, and they invoke feelings for Krishna. Everything invokes feeling. But spirit Madhava, oh, very nice name. Very, and now Bhaktavatsala. Bhaktavatsala, the name is not as well known as Madhava. Among those who are in the devotional line, they must know this name. But even in the secular world, at least in India, some names of Krishna are so common that they're still used, they're still given by parents to their children. So we get, just like we had one prime minister of India, Narasimha Rao. His name was Narasimha. So the name Narasimha was there in the news all the time. There was a big politician. He was, what was his name? Madhav Singh Solanki? Maybe you don't know. I think it's before your time. I think he was the chief minister of Gujarat. He was at one point, and he was high in the Gujarat, and in the, he was a congressman. I think Madhav Singh Solanki. Has the name come up? He was a politician. He died recently. I'm not sure if I met him or not. He was a big politician. I don't think so. Just passed away earlier this year. So like that, he was a big man in the Congress Party. Not the Congress Party in America, Congress Party in India. And so like that, I'm just giving an example. Madhav Singh Solanki, he was not specifically a Vaishnava, but just the name is very common. So what's the point I make here? Bhaktavatsala is not one of those names which is so very well known, but among devotees, it is well known, and it is very important name for us to understand the meaning of this. So please tune in with all your ears. Most people on this planet have two ears. We know of at least one person who has eight ears, Lord Brahma. He's always glorifying Krishna. What is that? Chatur. Brahma Bole Chaturmukhe, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Mahadeva Panchamukhe, Rama Rama Hare Hare. With his four mouths, Lord Brahma is always chanting the names of Krishna. With his five mouths, Lord Shiva is always glorifying Lord Rama, saying his name. Rupa Goswami, he's talking about, he wants millions of mouths and millions of ears to relish that name Krishna. So let us relish this name according to our level. We're not on the level of Bhaktivinoda. Maybe. So Madhava, we just had the name Madhava. Madhava is a name very much loved. We can, from the last description, we found how Sri Parasha Bhatta, he just, anyway, while he's composing his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam, he's in complete bliss. But when he got to the name Madhava, he just comes, just his bliss goes, woo, in overdrive. Because, and he goes on praising Sri Lakshmi. And then so many praises of Lakshmi, and says, and Mother, he's great because he's connected with her. So it's a very blissful name. And now more bliss with the name Bhaktivatsala, which is also very, very important for the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, because they emphasize this point so much in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. How, well, first of all, Bhaktivatsala, what does it mean? Well, it's, there are so many things to say. How, where do we start? And it means he's affectionate to his devotees. Exactly, we'll get more into that as we get into it. He loves Lakshmi. He's the husband of Lakshmi. He's a good husband. He loves his wife. It's not a loveless marriage. It's a very loving marriage. He is the father of all living beings. So she is the mother of all living beings. The mother especially is very affectionate to the children. He is a very affectionate father, no doubt. But her affection, and if you don't believe me, go and ask the Sri Vaishnavas, her affection is more. So her quality of being so compassionate to his devotees that he gets a boost from her. Actually, not just that, but he loves all living beings. The term bhakta is derived from the root bhaja, which means to serve, to honor, to praise. And vatsala is derived from the word vatsa, which means a calf. So the idea is that Krishna is just like a cowherd boy. He is a cowherd boy. He's not just like a cowherd boy. Krishna loves the cow. Actually, the example is given. It's just like a cow loves a calf. Oh, you may not see in the countries where cows are confined in prisons and tortured for no crime of their own. And calves, if they're male, are slaughtered. Very demoniac civilization. They call it civilization. Hare Krishna. But at least here in India, up to the present day, we see the cows with the calves, and it's such an affection. So that is a reflection of Krishna's affection for his devotees, and actually for all living beings. Krishna is very... We have the name here, Bhakta Vatsala, but prior to this, we had the name Vatsala, which means he's affectionate to all living beings. Just in the previous verse, we had the name Lokabandhu, the friend of everyone, the friend of all the worlds. He's compassionate. That's the Srila Prabhupada writes that in the Krishna book, that of all the qualities of the Supreme Lord, the most important one is his mercy upon his devotees, but actually for everyone. That's why he comes to this world, to lift up especially the devotees, paritranaya sadhunam. And what does he do to the demons? Vinashayata dushkritam. That's also his mercy, to destroy them. Dharma sansthapanartha. He comes for the purpose of reestablishing dharma for all persons. For his devotees, they don't need ordinary dharma. He lifts them up. And for ordinary people, okay, they'll stay here, but at least let them follow dharma so they can come to the level of being a devotee. In Ramayana, the description of Lord Rama, Vyasaneshu manushyanam brishang bhavati dukitaha. The all-blissful Supreme Lord, Sri Rama, becomes distressed upon witnessing others' distress. In the Amarakosh, which is a Sanskrit dictionary, I guess you could call it, Kripa dayanu kampa syad anukroshaha. Compassion is the unmotivated desire to destroy others' distress. that compassion for all living beings is exhibited by Lord Krishna. It's not a show. It's not a show of being saintly. It's not just talking about being compassionate. But he really means it, and he really acts on it. Here's a reading. I'll read from Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, describing the qualities of Krishna. Number 32, compassionate. What is the definition of being compassionate? Srila Prabhupada writes, he's translating and explaining from Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Prabhupada writes, a person who is unable to bear another's distress is called compassionate. Krishna's compassion for distressed persons was exhibited. And then after that, you could put umpteen zillion examples, but one specific example is being given here. Krishna's compassion for distressed persons was exhibited when he released all the kings imprisoned by Magadendra. Magadendra is another name for Jarasandha, means the king of Magad. While dying, grandfather Bhishma prayed to Krishna and described him as the sun which eradicated darkness. The kings imprisoned by Magadendra were put into dark cells, and when Krishna appeared there, the darkness immediately disappeared, just as if the sun had risen. In other words, although Magadendra was able to imprison so many kings, upon the appearance of Krishna, they were all released. Krishna released the kings out of his sincere compassion for them. Yes, sincere compassion. It wasn't a political stunt. He wasn't trying to get some points so he could go down in history as a great saintly person. His sincere compassion for them. Continuing reading from Nectar of Devotion. Krishna's compassion was also exhibited when Grandfather Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows which had been shot through his body. While lying in this position, Bhishma was very anxious to see Krishna, and thus Krishna appeared there. Upon seeing the pitiable condition of Bhishma, Krishna began speaking with tears in his eyes. Isn't this amazing? And Krishna, he conspired to get Bhishma in that position. Arjuna didn't want to fight. Specifically, Arjuna said that I don't want to fight, especially against Drona and Bhishma. Guru Nahatvahi Mahanubhavan. How can I kill such great personalities as my gurus? He's specifically referring here to Bhishma and Drona. But Krishna told him, no, you have to fight. And Krishna was complicit in what was practically the contrivance by which Bhishma was killed superficially by what's her name? I just don't remember the name now. I won't get it if I try to remember. But it was actually Arjuna was doing it. But he didn't die because Bhishma he'll die when he wants. But he's lying on the bed of arrows. So Krishna's very Krishna did it as a political necessity to kill Bhishma. But he loves Bhishma. And Bhishma knows that. And Bhishma also tried to put Krishna down. It's politics, it's Kshatriya's stuff. He breaking Krishna's promise. He was either going to kill Arjuna or have Krishna break his promise. And he knew that Krishna would never allow Arjuna to be killed. So Bhishma was going to humiliate Krishna. That is the Kshatriya's business. No mercy in fighting. But that humiliating Krishna that became the great glory of Krishna. Bhakta Vatsala. He will protect his devotee, even by breaking his own promise. So the Kshatriya's business is not very nice, but even though Krishna was fighting with Bhishma, Bhishma was fighting with Arjuna, there's a great bond of love between them. So when Krishna came and saw Bhishma in that condition, on the bed of arrows, I'll continue reading this, Krishna began speaking with tears in his eyes. Not only was he shedding tears, but he also forgot himself in his compassion. Strong men don't cry. That's one of the first things I learned as a kid, in your inculturation as a kid, growing up in Britain, where you have to learn to be tough and look after yourself. It's a very different. When I came to Bengal, I saw it was a very different culture, this individualism. But especially, my mother used to tell me that big boys don't cry. I guess she got fed up of me crying. Big boys don't cry. Okay, I got to be a big boy and don't cry. Kshatriyas, they're tough people. They can, Bhishma, dearly beloved, kill him. No tears. But then the battle's over, almost. Duryodhana was still to be killed. But Krishna was shedding tears. He forgot himself. Now I'm not the tough vidhi, the one who gives the law or metes out justice. He forgot himself in his compassion. So this compassion, Srila Prabhupada continues. Therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, devotee offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotees, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, you see, taking advantage, they know the tricks. I know the trick. Krishna, how can I approach Krishna? You know the trick? Okay, here's the trick. What do you do? Jai Radhe, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani. Always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. So it's saying how Madhava, we had the name Madhava. He's the husband of Lakshmi. So Radha is the original form of Lakshmi. Krishna is naturally compassionate. But being God, he has to be stiff also. Radha is not stiff. Well, she can be when she's in pastimes with Krishna. That's only for show in love. But in dealing with all the conditioned souls, Radharani is very, very merciful. She comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna coming to relish the feelings of Radha. But then Radha's tremendous compassion on all the living beings, that becomes expressed as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is lifting up the most fallen. Radha, her attention is on Krishna. She's solely concentrated on Krishna. But then her love for Krishna expands to all living beings. Let them all be picked up. She comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, before considering Bhaktavatsal, how he's so kind to his devotees, and we are especially considering his immense compassion protection for his devotees. Let's just consider, go back and consider his vatsalya, his compassion and love for all living beings. In this regard, I'm going to sing a hymn, Christian hymn. I'll just state it. It's in English, in modern English, so it's a fairly recent composition, which expresses appreciation for God. Christians, they don't know God as Krishna, but they're expressing their appreciation for God as how they experience and see Him within the creation. Okay, I remember this from school, and I just remember the first verse from school, but by the help of the internet, I found the whole song. And it expresses appreciation for God. So this is a very general way of expressing appreciation for God. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the good Lord, the Lord God made them all. Oh, I thought it was the good Lord made them all. It's the Lord God made them all. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, He made their glowing colors, He made their tiny wings. The cold wind in the winter, the pleasant summer sun, the ripe fruits in the garden, He made them every one. He gave us eyes to see them and lips that we might tell how great is God Almighty who has made all things well. Oh, mosquitoes biting. Wait a minute, God made the mosquitoes too. The mosquitoes not biting, but not today, not just now. It's a little one-sided there, seeing that the world is something nice for us to live in. I was on a train once going from Bombay to Gujarat, and there was a Christian nun. There are plenty of them in India. Christian nun also. And she was preaching to me. I guess she wanted to convert me into a Christian. And there was a young girl there also. And I didn't bother too much. I let her talk her appreciation of God. I didn't argue with her much. And then one thing she said, you see, and then she brought out her sandwiches, some meat sandwiches. You see, He's given us so much nice food we can eat. And she's eating her meat sandwich. And she was preaching to the young Gujarati girl sitting next to her who just listened submissively. And I thought maybe she's making some headway. But then the girl, as she left, she left at a station earlier to my leaving, she said to me, Jai Shri Krishna. she didn't want to argue with the elderly nun. Anyway, the point is they're appreciating God in the creation, but it may be somewhat misplaced. Like they say, God has given us so many nice things to eat as she eats her meat sandwich. But the idea God made all the animals for us to kill them and eat them. Some idea of God is there, but it's the idea that the world is there for us to live and enjoy it and exploit it. It's somewhat misrepresentation. But it is, we have in Bhagavad Gita also that God gives us everything in this world so that we can live somewhat happily. We don't have to increase our distress by living sinfully and getting reactions for that, causing suffering to others. But the point is, if we follow the system given by God, when we're talking about Vatsala, we're talking about God, because he's generally compassionate to everyone. When we're talking about Bhakta Vatsala, we're talking about Krishna. So God means in general terms, everyone can appreciate. A Christian can appreciate, a Jew can appreciate, a Hindu can appreciate, a Muslim can appreciate. They can all appreciate God in general terms. But then when we get to Bhakta Vatsala, then specifically a relationship is there, and the relationship is with Krishna. God is very distant. Krishna is very close. So yeah, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sahayagya Praja Shrishtva Purovacha Prajapatihi Anena Prasavishyadvam Eshavo Srishta Kama Duk. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna, sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. So, yes, it's an appreciation of God, Vishnu. It's a very general way. Appreciation Vishnu, generally appreciating him as God. This is not the love of that devotees cultivate for Narayana or Krishna, but Vishnu in a general way. God, yeah, he's giving us what we need in this world, but there's a process. We have to satisfy him and we have to satisfy the demigods by performing sacrifice. And in this way, the demigods, they will give what is required. And the idea is that we live peacefully in this world without too much unnecessary disturbance. By living a life according to the orders of God, we can live peacefully and go on to, as Srila Prabhupada works into the translation here, we can go on to achieve liberation from this world. Unfortunately, we take it that his kindness is meant for us to enjoy here. As you get some idea in that song, all things bright and beautiful, that the world is here for us to enjoy, and that's God's grace. But that's a misunderstanding. It's not meant for our enjoyment. It's a prison house. We can be happy by serving Krishna in this world, but we don't belong here. We belong in the spiritual world. Now, to describe this name Vatsala, I'm going to read several quotes from Srila Prabhupada's books and from the BBT translation with commentary on Brihad Bhagavatamrita of Sanatana Goswami. BBT translation means basically Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, translated Hridayananda Goswami, spruced up the English, and I'm not sure what he did, but he took the translation and he worked with that. He did a lot of work, and Dravida Prabhu was in the team also. So I'll quote from that. And this is how Krishna is very kind in lifting up people in this world toward the status of being a devotee. This is being Vatsala. And later in this talk, or series of talks, I'll go more into how particularly he's Bhakta Vatsala. First of all, I'll read from Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, chapter 19, text 27, a verse which is translated or given in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. Satyang dishatyartitam artito nirnam naivartado yatpuna artita yataha svayang vidate bhajatang anichatam ichapidhanam nijapada pallavam. This verse is practically a commentary or an extension on the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Vidha Bhajante Mang Jana Sukritin Arjuna Arto Jignyasur Artar Ti Gyani Cha Bharatarshaba. Krishna says, four kinds of pious people worship me. The distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and one who is in knowledge. So two of those categories in particular are materialistic devotees, the distressed and the desirer of wealth. And the jignyasu, one who is inquisitive, this doesn't mean inquisitive on the level of Brahma jignyasa. Of course, different Gita commentators give different understandings of that, but generally inquisitive. So this verse, I'll read the translation that Srila Prabhupada gives. The Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives, but he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. So, you want something? Okay, take it. You want something? No. He doesn't give a benediction in a way that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. Rather, the Lord willingly, however, Srila Prabhupada's translation, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it, and that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. From Srila Prabhupada's purport, the devotees mentioned in the previous verse approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with material motives, but this verse explains how such devotees are saved from those desires. Srimad Bhagavatam advises, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udara dihi ti vrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is freed from all material desires, is full of material desires, or desires to become one with the Supreme, he should engage in devotional service. End of translation of that verse. In this way, continuing reading the purport, in this way, not only will the devotee's desires will be fulfilled, but the day will come when he will have no other desire than to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. One who engages in the service of the Lord with some motive is called a sakam bhakta, and one who serves the Lord without any motives is called an akama bhakta. Krishna is so merciful that he turns a sakam bhakta into an akama bhakta. A pure devotee, an akama bhakta, who has no material motives, is satisfied simply to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Yang ladva chaparang labhang manyate nadikang tataha. If one engages in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he does not want anything more. This is the highest stage of devotional service. The Lord is so kind even to a sakama bhakta, a motivated devotee, that he satisfies his desires in such a way that one day he becomes an akama bhakta. Dhruva Maharaj, for example, became a bhakta with the motive of getting a better kingdom than that of his father, but finally he became an akama bhakta and said to the Lord, Svarmin kritarthosmi varang naya che. My dear Lord, I am very satisfied simply to serve your lotus feet. I do not want any material benefits. Sometimes it is found that a small child eats dirty things, but his parents take away the dirty things and offer him a sandesh or other sweetmeat. Think of Sachi with little Nimai. Back to the reading. The devotees who aspire for material benedictions are compared to such children. The Lord is so kind that he takes away their material desires and gives them the highest benediction. Therefore, even for material motives, one should not worship anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must fully engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that all his desires will be fulfilled, and at the end he can go home back to Godhead. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita as follows. This is all from the purport on that verse in Bhagavatam. Anyakami, a devotee may desire something other than service to the lotus feet of the Lord, jodi kare Krishna bhajan, But if he engages in Lord Krishna's service, Namagiteho Krishna Tare Dena Svacharan, Krishna gives him shelter at his lotus feet, even though he does not aspire for it. Krishna Kohe, the Lord says, Amab Haje, he is engaged in my service, Mage Bishoy Shuk, but he wants the benefits of material sense gratification. Amrita Chari Bishamage, such a devotee is like a person who asks for poison instead of nectar. Eboro Murka, that is his foolishness. Ami Bigga, but I, Krishna speaking, am experienced. A murke bishoy keno debo. Why should I give such a foolish person the dirty things of material enjoyment? Svacharanamrita. It would be better for me to give him shelter at my lotus feet. Bishoy bhulaibo. I shall cause him to forget all material desires. Kama lagi Krishna bhaje. If one engages in the service of the Lord for sense gratification, pai Krishna roshe. The result is that he ultimately gets a taste for serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Kama chari dasha hoite hoi abhilasha. He then gives up all material desires and wants to become an eternal servant of the Lord. So this is an example of how someone, he's a materialistic conditioned soul, somehow or other he comes to Krishna and Krishna just scoops him up, brings him to his lotus feet. So that is Bhaktavatsala. The name Bhaktavatsala more particularly refers to those who are great pure devotees, but even if someone is just a beginning of a devotee, Krishna lifts him up. That is his mercy. Now I'm going to be reading, especially in this series of talks, I'm going to be reading a lot from Srila Prabhupada's purports, which might not be particularly inspiring to all. There's a lot of devotees, it seems, they prefer to have something which is more, I don't know, attractive or something, but I just things which I've found in the course of my reading, which I find are relevant, and I think, oh, I can put that in the upcoming name, Vishnu Sahasranam discussion. These talks are not for those who are looking for some kind of semi-spiritual entertainment. These are meant for devotees who want to hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there will be a lot of reading, and if you get bored, then go and watch. There are so many spiritual entertainers out there, or you can. There are so many things. There are billions of videos on YouTube, but this is meant for Krishna consciousness, which is blissful, but it's not entertainment in the sense of being a comedy show or any such thing. Okay. Well, and that's all right. Let's read one more. It's so relishable. Okay, so the Lord is the well-wisher of all living beings. He's kind to all living beings. So we just read about someone who's not really a devotee, but he's Krishna says, okay, he's worshiping me. Okay, let's call him a devotee. Prabhupada was so much like that. He picked up so many very, very fallen people. He was expert at engaging people in devotional service. Of course, he had rules. He had to make rules also. But he wanted to engage everyone somehow or other in Krishna's service. For this, he wanted Varnashram communities to engage people at different levels in Krishna's service. Anyway, so Krishna is very merciful to everyone. What about the demons? Is Krishna merciful to the demons? Well, Bali Maharaj, one of the greatest devotees, one of the 12 Mahajanas, was a demon, at least superficially. And he addresses Vamanadeva in the following way. This is reading from the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's translation. Since your lordship is indirectly the greatest well-wisher of us demons, you act for our best welfare by posing as if our enemy. Bali Maharaj got it. He's the enemy. He comes as the enemy of the demons, but actually he's acting for their welfare. Bali Maharaj continues, because demons like us always aspire for a position of false prestige, by chastising us, you give us the eyes by which to see the right path. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions or states, and it's a pretty amazing statement. Bali Maharaj considered the Supreme Personality of Godhead a better friend to the demons than to the demigods. Really? He came and stole everything away from Bali Maharaj and gave everything to the demigods? How can Bali consider Krishna to be a better friend to the demons than to the demigods? Let's hear how Srila Prabhupada explains this. In the material world, the more one gets material possessions, the more he becomes blind to spiritual life. The demigods are devotees of the Lord for the sake of material possessions, but although the demons apparently do not have the Supreme Personality of Godhead on their side, he always acts as their well-wisher by depriving them of their positions of false prestige. By false prestige, one is misguided, so the Supreme Lord takes away their position of false prestige as a special favor. I was just mentioning how Srila Prabhupada embodied that spirit of vatsalya of the Supreme Lord by wanting to pick up everyone, engage them in devotional service. But another feature of Srila Prabhupada was that he would speak very strongly to devotees and non-devotees also to rectify their misconceptions and cut down their false prestige so that they could come to the proper position of understanding their position as servant of Krishna. You rascal, you fool. What do you mean I'm a rascal? Yeah, you're a rascal and a fool. Oh, you have to serve Krishna. So another instance of Krishna's mercy on a non-devotee, and the most envious snake. You're thinking, well, who's that person who's the most envious snake? It's Kaliya. He actually was a snake. We're not just saying it metaphorically. He was a snake. Due to the mercy of Garuda. Do you see how the Supreme Lord's mercy becomes manifest in so many cases due to the mercy of the devotee? Kaliya was a snake, by nature very envious. He found out that Garuda, his enemy, could not come to the place in Vrindavan, which became later known as Kaliyahrad, the lake of Kaliya. So he went there, he went to Vrindavan. Vrindavane jao. Vrindavane jao jate tomar sharva labbohai. Go to Vrindavan, Krishnadas was told by Nityananda, where everything you need, you'll get it right there. So Kaliya, very envious, so envious that he was, all living beings in Vrindavan were killed by his poison. Krishna chastised him by dancing on his heads. What mercy to get Krishna's foot dust on your heads. And then by the intercession of the wives of Kaliya And as Vishwanath Chakravarti points out, Krishna is especially very kind to women. Well, some people might disagree with that, but Vishwanath Chakravarti, he's actually a woman. He's Vishwanath Chakravarti here, but he's a woman, servant of Radharani. There's a narration in this regard. I won't divert into this. How the enemies of Vishwanath wanted, well, I guess I divert. They wanted to kill him. Vaishnavas were so upset by Vishwanath upholding Parakiya Bhava over Swakiya Bhava and thinking this is such a great disturbance in society. It's against Jiva Goswami. They conspired to kill him. So they waited in the early dawn hours at the pass. They knew he came to kill him. But he didn't come. They saw some very beautiful young girl collecting flowers. And they saw her and asked, did you see Vishwanath? Did you see him? They're charmed by the beauty of this young girl. Did you see him? No, I'm just busy. I'm collecting flowers for my Swamini, Radha. And then they saw that young girl transform into Vishwanath. So Vishwanath Chakravarti says that, he's a woman, and he knows he's a woman in Krishna Leela. And he says, Krishna is especially merciful to women. So the wives of Kaliya, they were more devotional, more intelligent than Kaliya. And they prayed to Krishna, you please save us. After all, we're women, we need a husband. If you kill him, we don't have a husband. And he's a rascal and a fool, but he got so much mercy by your dancing on his hoods, on his heads. But could you just don't dance anymore? Because Krishna's dancing with all the gopis on the heads of Kaliya. That's a detail which didn't make it into the Bhagavatam. Not everyone saw that. How can we live without our husband? You be kind. So Krishna said, okay, go to Fiji. I'm going to come there later. My devotee is going to come there later and build a temple there. So in this way, Krishna was very merciful, even to a snake. Other examples are there. Krishna merciful to a snake. One snake was swallowing Nanda Maharaj, and it was at night. And no one could stop that. They got those logs from the fire. Must have been winter time. Yeah, it was around the time of Shivratri. It would be very cold in North India, at night especially. So they took logs from the fire, and it's burning sticks, and they were beating that snake. But he wouldn't let go, Nanda Maharaj. And then Krishna came and just touched the snake with his foot. And then the snake took the form of very beautiful young man, Gandharva, Sudarshan, who is in the form of a snake. So Krishna is very kind, even to snakes. Very, very kind, Krishna. So I'll stop there, and Krishna willing, can continue in another session discussing Krishna's kindness. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nidhaya charnakam padaya nipatya kritva chakakushatame tadaham bravime Hey Sadhava Sakala Eva Vihaya Durad Gauranga Chandra Charane Kuruta Nuraga Parivadatu Jano Yatatatava Nanu Mukarona Vayam Vicharayamaha Hari Rasa Madira Mata Hari Rasa Madira Madati Mata Bhuvi Vilutama Nartama Nirvishama.